We're glad and enjoyed being here, and we're on our ninth. It took us a while to get through these 10 parenting detours from Dr. Walt Brock, a little book and a study that he wrote, gave us permission to use it. I'm not going to get to the 10th one, obviously, today, but maybe one Sunday night we'll finish up with that real quick. And the next time I do Sunday school, we'll move on to something else. I'm sure you're probably pretty weary of me going over this by now. But this is number 9, a very important one, and it's called deprived discipline. And we all know what it means to deprive somebody of something. Depriving means you just withhold, you don't do it. And so we're talking about depriving discipline, and I know there's a lot of ideas about this and what discipline is and all those kind of things. And if we're not careful, we take an extreme in discipline. I know when I was growing up, discipline was always viewed in my mind, and I don't even know, maybe my mom and dad's as well, just because of where we were and the things we were taught, that discipline was a negative thing. Now, I know all the young people in here are like, yeah, sure, it is 100% a negative thing. But if we, as a parent, take on that mindset that it's all negative, then we don't understand discipline. We do not understand it. I've had to learn that as a teacher in a classroom for 20 years. Discipline, we're going to go over a few things. Here's a simple definition. This is actually from Dr. Hobbs years ago, a couple things that I've got from here. It's the control and guidance of behavior. Now, I'm not going to get into all this psychological stuff, and I know there's all kinds of theories in education and such about, you know, how to control and guide behavior, and there's tons of different things to look at, but we're not going to go into that. We're going to look at it maybe from a biblical standpoint, but it's basically we want to be able to influence and control the way someone acts. And I'm not talking about manipulation. I'm not talking about that. That's another whole psychological field that is incorrect, in my opinion. But we want to have a certain type of behavior. I mean, if you, for example, talk about some practical things, you go into a classroom, you don't want it to be in chaos. You want to be able to guide and control the behavior that's going on so that you can get to the task of educating. Well, in another sense of it, we want to guide and control the behavior of our young people, but with a goal in mind. And here's another thing that I kind of had to come to this. It took me a while. Because when I was growing up, of course, discipline was always a negative thing to me. And I've told young people this 1,000 times. They have this phrase that they're just afraid of and they're scared and they're upset because they, quote, got in trouble. Okay, right? I got in trouble at school. Or I got in trouble at home. And I try to tell them, don't think of it as the fact that you got in trouble. That's negative. Now, sure, did they get in trouble? Sure, whatever. But you need to think of it in a different light. Why did this happen? Why did you, quote, get caught or get in trouble? Because the Lord is trying to work in your life. God is trying to work through this scenario and this situation to grow you into the image of Christ. And so I tell young people many times, and Ms. Peppert as well, we've had countless times where we've talked to young people and dealt with situations and problems. And one thing Ms. Peppert always says is, this is not the end, this is the beginning. You ever told that to a student? Well, you haven't, but we've told that to students that we've kicked out. This isn't the end, this is the beginning. And it all determines on your attitude and how you look at this. Because if you look at it as a negative thing, it will be the end. And you'll be like, oh, whatever. I don't want anything to do with this God and just we're done with it. And we have this negative approach to it and we give up and get upset. No, this is the beginning because what's done is done. Get it right with God. Repent of it. Ask for forgiveness. And then ask the Lord to help you to grow and to improve from that. Now that in a nutshell is that one of the goals of discipline, to grow. And discipline is not done to the child. I got a whipping, or I got detention, or I got suspended, or whatever it is, or I got grounded. I'm just thankful to this day that my parents didn't believe in grounding. I'm sorry. If you ground your kid, that's fine. I'm not. You do what you need to do, what works with your kid. You know that. I don't. But I'm very thankful that my dad never grounded me. My dad would about kill me, okay? And I mean, you know, I wondered if I'd ever walk again. Maybe have to go to some real physical therapy. But when it was done, it was done. And I've always appreciated that about my dad. It was over. He was moving on to the next thing. And his favorite thing is to eat. I was telling Brother Richard, my dad's a very large man. He's about 400 pounds. He's a big guy. So when it was done and it was over with, and we got all things right. And sometimes it took me a while to come to that, because I'd be angry. dad's over here punishing me or spanking me or, you know, whipping me, whatever it was, because I was an absolute perfect child. No, for the things I would do, and I deserved it. And that's something I'd be upset. And I remember one time I went in and slammed my door closed. That wasn't the smartest thing. Why did I do that? Because I learned real quick that's not the right way to respond. And then, you know, I remember this, and maybe I'm the only one, like I said, I guess I'm the only one that goes through this stuff, and teenagers, you aren't like this, I know. But I'd be sitting in my room just mad, just angry. I can't believe my dad would do this wrong. Well, you know, I'm 13 years old. I'm 14. I'm big stuff. And then I'd sit there angry, and in about, I don't know, a few minutes, suddenly, and it was God. It was the Holy Spirit, because that's the way He does with us. He would just get me and say, "What are you doing, you moron? Why are you thinking this way about your dad?" And then I'd break down into becoming a big softy and realize how dumb it was, and I'd go out there, leave my room, and I'd go find my dad, and I'd tell him I'm sorry. I'm not trying to get all teary, but I am a little bit. You know, and to get a hug from your dad, it's okay, son, let's move on. Hey, I'm hungry. Let's go to Western Sizzlin'. Ooh, okay. It was over. It was over. But you know what? I had to come to that point where, "Dad, I'm sorry. I shouldn't have done that." "Well, yeah, I told you. Now go back to your room. You don't come out of there for 3 more weeks and you ain't doing nothing." No, it was over. It was done. And would I probably do that same thing again? Yeah. Probably would. And you know what? Being dumb again. And you know what happened? My dad would take care of me. And I said, "Dad, I messed up again. And I'm sorry. Well, son, we're getting there. Let's go get some ice cream." Our relationship revolves around food. I can't wait to go see my dad and go to Triangle Waffle and eat some blessings, as he calls them. But my dad, yeah, there were some things that were done to me. And I'm telling you, from my standpoint as a child, discipline was done to me, and I didn't like it. I was getting my dad, people disagree with this. My dad used a belt, whatever. I didn't die. I'm still here. My dad didn't know a lot of things like you guys do. You know, the Bible talks about the rod of correction. We'll get into that hopefully today. But my dad didn't know any different. He just knew I needed a whipping because I'm a stubborn, hard-headed boy. And so he gave me one. I don't know where I was going with this. Oh, yeah. So it was done to me. Yeah. It was terrible. But you know what? My dad was doing it for. He was doing it for me. And, you know, you have to learn, even in a classroom, you have to learn that. How to learn that as a teacher. Because we can have this negative mindset about kids in there. Get them again. Hold up. Yeah, it'll drive you nuts. Just go teach middle school. Ask Brother Don. It'll drive you nuts. And you're like, "What? Something like, what? Boy, they came up with a new one today. Well, that's a doozy. Where did that come from?" Yeah, it'll happen. But it's the attitude of, what am I going to do to help this child improve, grow closer to the Lord, draw closer to His ways, and conform to Him? It's for the child. That's the positive side of discipline that unfortunately doesn't get talked a lot about. "That's because I said so." Oh, okay. Well, we got to be able to also take God's word and show our children why. If we can't do that, then we're going to cause a whole other set of problems in their lives when they get older. So it's for the child. Now, this is right from 1828 Webster's Dictionary. That's the definition of discipline. Education. Now, I know there's a lot of, that word is used in a variety of contexts. Like, you want discipline in the classroom. In that context, it means order. But in the context of our children and raising them, discipline is education. What is the whole, why did God give you those children? What's the whole point? To teach them. Deuteronomy chapter 6, even way back in the Old Testament. You'll talk of them when you're rising up and sitting down and walking and teach them the ways of the Lord. That's Deuteronomy chapter 6. It's keep God's word out there. Teach them, educate them. And that is the whole point of discipline that sometimes I think gets overlooked, because we think it's, "Oh, discipline, I'm going to switch my child." Yes, that's what it involves, or consequences and things like that. But in the grand scheme of things, It is what I'm doing for my child to help them draw closer to the Lord and be conformed to Christ. And as the point of number 9 here is, if I deprive that as a parent, if I hold back, well, I just, you know, that phrase, you know, it's going to hurt me worse than it does you, son. I was like, yeah, okay. I don't believe you, Dad. There ain't no way that's true until I had my own kids. And it's true. It's true. You know, it's really hard when they're 3 and 4 years old and they're so cute and sweet, except my boys weren't really cute, but Megan would disagree with me. But that's really hard to give that little switch, you know, a couple times to the little rear end there. Not that I'm going to get graphic or anything. But that's really hard when they look at you, big eyes, and this is why I don't have daughters, I'm telling you. They'd be the most spoiled, rotten things ever. I would just be like, yes, dear. Go see your mother. I can't. You know, I would be a failure as a parent if I had girls. I don't know how, Nicole, I don't know how you do it, because Cassie and Adrian, I would just be like, yes, Cassie, what do you want? Okay, we're done. Next. And I'd ruin them, basically. I would ruin them. But anyway, I think I could probably man up, but the Lord didn't give me any daughters, so I don't know anything about it. Maybe He'll give me some granddaughters. I can spoil them to death and say, now go on home. You know, discipline, let Dad do that. I'm not going to mess with it. Yay, that might work out great for me. I don't know. I hope I get a granddaughter one day. That'll be awesome. Anyway, I'm getting off track. Where was I going with this? Can't remember. It's education. Thank you. Yeah, that's where I was going. It's right up there. So we want to educate and teach our children, even though it's really hard. They might be sweet and look, oh, I'm sorry, Dad. Okay, well, don't do it again. And then they turn right around and it wasn't genuine. They just don't want the consequence. And so we have to be careful that we want to teach them that life has consequences. That is reality, 100% reality. I tell kids all the time, why do we have to have this as part of our uniform? Well, because it'll help you learn that everything isn't always about you, and you have to do something you don't want to. And I really like it when the ones that talk about, well, I'm going to go into the military, I laugh at them. I'm like, oh, you want to go into the military, and you're worried about, I can't wear this. Good luck. Have fun. When you walk into boot camp, they take everything you own and give you. I remember Bill, Andrew, and Robert and them talking about how even if you have to wear glasses, they give you those real ugly ones, you know. Because everybody's got, they're going to debase you. You're going to shave your head and give you these ugly glasses that everybody's going to be the same. And it's just, sorry, bud, this is what you got. Of course, today, I don't know if they've changed that or not. They've all gone woke and it might offend somebody. So I don't know what's going on with that. But anyway, a side note. Discipline involves submission. You know, my parents said this a lot, and I didn't understand it then, but I do now. My mom and dad would always say, if you can't obey me now, you will not obey God in the future. Apart from God's grace. God can overcome, obviously. If you can't submit to authority as a young person, if you're always right, if it's always got to be what you want to do, then you're not going to do what God wants you to do. I credit my parents for a lot of things. I believed in middle school that God wanted me to be in the ministry. I didn't know what I thought I knew what. I was going to be a missionary to Quebec. I don't know why. That was in my mind. I was going to be a missionary to Quebec. And so from that point forward, that's all I focused on. Straight to Bible college. Never a question in my mind ever. I knew I was going to go to Bible college. I knew I was going to get a degree in theology. I knew I was going to be a preacher. I never even questioned it. I just knew that's what God wanted. And my parents encouraged that in middle school. To start, you know, when you read your Bible and pray and ask, what does God want me to do? And He shows you. He speaks to you through His Word. And I just knew it was settled in my mind. And then, of course, God did other things and I ended up here and now I'm in education. I'm thinking, Lord, why? No. That was a joke. That's a tough crowd this morning. But, you know, my parents helped me learn submission. They helped me learn that. My mom and dad were not ones to withhold consequences. My school was hardcore. I tell the kids about it all the time. I was like, y'all a bunch of babies. I said an A was a 95 to 100. A B was an 89 to 94. A C was an 80 to an 88. A D was a 75 to 80. And a 74 and below was an F. And they're like, yeah. That was, you know how hard it was to get straight A's? That was hard. And there was no, I can't believe that teacher would do that. Oh, they wouldn't even call the teacher. There was any inkling. We were getting murdered in the back bedroom, you know, by the wrath of Khan over there. You know, I mean, and they had this system, you know, it was before the emails. I know y'all can't imagine there was a day before emails and cell phones. Pop knows about that, right? Yeah. But, you know, Todd talked about the red phone. Well, we had the yellow manila envelope. That was the red phone in my day. And so we had to take that walk of shame to Carline. You know, and they made them so big you couldn't put them in your backpack. Everybody's like, Adam's got an envelope. Yeah, everybody knows what that means. My sisters, of course, they were saying, guess what happened at school today, Mommy? Because we were a small school, so everybody knew what happened at school. If anybody got in trouble, everybody knew. And so I was no hiding. I'm walking across with the yellow envelope. My mom wouldn't even have to read the yellow envelope. Okay, she'd just say, go to my room. Yes, ma'am. I'd go to my room, and then she'd make me sit there. I hated it. I'd have to wait for an hour or two sometimes while all my brothers and sisters out there playing, having a great time, and I'm sitting there waiting for the day of doom to come upon me. She wanted me to think about what I'd done. And so by the time she got to me, I was just melting, yes, ma'am, whatever. Whatever. And she would read the paper eventually, and then she would take care of me. And then what was worse, Dad would come home, and then he'd take care of me. And then it was over, and we had to move on and try not to get another yellow envelope. I don't know if I was in the days of, anybody got paddled at school before? Oh, look at that. Yes, sir. We're still alive. My principal used a ping pong paddle. So that was a lot of fun. And when I was in second grade, I cheated. Good, telling myself. They had the spelling list of like 25 words or whatever. But our teacher always gave us bonus words. And you know me, I'm not academically competitive at all. So I wanted those bonus words. But I could not for the life of me memorize imagination and consonant. I even remember the two words. I was like, eight. Wow, what's wrong with me? I know how to spell them now. Imagination and consonant were the two words, and I took that cursed gray paper, them phonics papers that if you erase, they tear, and I wrote with a red crayon, imagination and consonant, red, of all things. That's real subtle, red. And I folded it, and I stuck it right under my old big fat thighs, and I'm just sitting there. And she's reading out the words, and comes, says, all right, the bonus words, and she had imagination. I went, wrote it, consonant. And this thing I know, she saw me. And buddy, that was all. She sent me straight to the principal's office. So I got a paddling for cheating. And then I had to take the walk of shame to Carline with the manila envelope. And you know, you can imagine the just horrible, horrific things that happened to me. I'm such a victim, right? It was education and submission. It's that simple. Education and submission. Because you are going to have consequences. And we're teaching this whole generation of kids to grow up and do what you want. Doesn't matter. And mom and dad are taking the consequences away. You gave my child. Yeah. Look at his conduct, Mark. Why did you give him an in? Needs improvement. Well, parents, so what? So your child has something to work on. Thank the Lord. Get busy. Not the end of the world. It's the beginning of something. The beginning that I've got to work on something and become a better person and draw closer to the Lord and be conformed to the image of Christ, it's a process. Sometimes, and I'm guilty of this, we're worried about how it makes me look. We're worried about how it makes me look. And so then, got to all this stuff. So discipline involves submission. And here, Dr. Hobbs used to say this. What's the goal of discipline? Discipline. That when they're older, you know, Doris and I could probably take a look at every high school student in this school, and we can probably tell you, without even doing any research, whether or not they were disciplined as a child. Or by discipline, I mean they were taught. Because we can point out that one doesn't have self-discipline, that one doesn't, that one does, that one does, that one does, that one doesn't, that one does. It's obvious. Very obvious. And if you can train at a young age, you know, the rod of correction is not forever. Y'all realize that? It's unbelievable that if you start at the right age and be consistent, It does not take long. And it different child, different kids are different. Some of my boys, I had to do it a little longer. I'm thinking of one particular one of my sons. I won't say who it is. 3 and 4 years old, yep. But I can count on one hand the times I had to punish him after age 5. He got it. Now, some of the other ones, still working on that. And some of them Brother Don knows about. Wonder who that is. Sorry. But I think he's coming around. He's made some interesting statements lately. Like, well, teacher's actually pretty fun. Like, wow, you gave it a chance. How about that? Anyway, I move on. You just got to keep at it. You got to keep at it. And sometimes it takes longer. But what's the goal? Is that when they become near the age of adulthood, they're self-disciplined. They know this is wrong, this is right. How did they come to that? Well, they were trained, but yet on their own, they also studied God's Word. And they know, and they can discipline themselves to avoid this, do this, get up and be managed and all these kind of things and all the responsibilities of life in general. Having the discipline to do that. The goal of discipline is to where one day you don't have to anymore. Because then they've learned and now they answer to God. They're coming into adulthood. They're going to read God's Word on their own. They're going to answer to God. They're going to live their Christian life. They have to answer for those things now. So let's look at some verses here about discipline. Well, first, discipline does not allow the child to get away with this. I'll just put these up real quick. This is just a handful of major things that as a young child, you should not let them get away with. Selfishness. That's probably one of the biggest, to be honest with you, in children. Now, you don't have to teach. I didn't have to teach any of my boys to say, no, mine have it. You know, or whatever we say, it's mine. Or, Mom, Jesse took my whatever. You know, or he's so mean to me. You don't have to teach a child to be selfish. They're automatically, naturally, 100% that way. And I'm going to tell you, you may disagree with me, but I'm telling you, a lot of this has to be broken before age 5. Now, you may think that sounds crazy. If you can get this by age 5, your probability is really high. Probability of what? That they'll submit to the Lord. That they'll come to Christ. But you just like, oh, they're so cute. Yeah, it was hard to switch a 3-year-old. And people always say the terrible 2s. I disagree with that. With my boys, it was terrible 3s and 4s. They were fine at age 2. 3 and 4, I was like, what kind of demonic activity is happening in this house? What in the world? And you got to deal with it. But I tell you, if you can get it done by age 5, you may have to do a little more as it goes. And then the teenage year comes in, you know, where they're in 6th and 7th grade and all of a sudden they know everything. Right? Because they've lived. You have to kind of revisit a few things and remind them of a few things. But why? I told them what? No. So they're growing, educating, learning. Selfishness is a tough one. Don't tolerate it. I tell you, we could write books of the downfalls of selfishness. We see it in school nonstop with really unsaved families. It's predominant. It is all about me because I tell you what, the parents in this generation are 100% selfish. They're living their own lives, doing their own thing, centered on themselves. They can, sadly, sometimes they don't even care about their own kids. It's about me. And the parents just, oh, I got to get through my 40-hour week and get to the weekend so I can party. And there's the kid just kind of floating along, watching. What do you think that kid's learning? It's all about me. We can't deprive the consequences of selfishness. Because when they become adults, if they're selfish, there's consequences. Yeah, go get a job and be super selfish and watch what happens. You're probably going to get fired. Dishonesty. Don't put up with it. That's a big one. You know, we deal with it when a kid lies. That's a big deal. If the parent's not going to support you disciplining dishonesty, then you don't have anything. You can't do anything. Hands are tied. Disrespect. I'm going to tell you, I remember the day that I disrespected my dad. Well, it was more than one day. I remember the day I told the kids in chapel, listen, I disrespected my mom. And when I woke up, I didn't know where I was. Don't disrespect your mama. Like they say, she brought you into this world, she'll bring you out, and dad will help her. Don't put up with it. Don't put up with it. My dad, again, my dad was he's a pretty big guy, okay? And when I was a kid, we would have fellowship dinners and stuff after church. And I remember one day, and I was probably like 8, I don't know. I was young. And I was standing by my dad, you know, looking up at him, and him and his friends were talking and joking, and they were joking about being overweight and all that kind of stuff. And I don't even know what I said, but I laughed, and I, like, joined in. My dad didn't say anything. And when we got home, my dad said something. He said, son, he was a little upset, and he let me know it. He said, I know we were all joking around, but we were adults. And for you as a small boy to interject yourself and act like you're going to pick on so-and-so or joke with dad and joke with somebody else about it, that's not your place, and you will be respectful. And he tore me up. I got spanking. My dad would get upset if I called... We never called adults by their first names. I'm just laying that out. You can disagree with me all you want. It took me a long time, well into adulthood, like mid to late 20s, to be able to do that. It was like I could feel my mom behind me. And there's some people I won't call them by their first name that are way older than me that, you know, I grew up with. I was scared to death. Because, you know, my dad would. He was friends with them. But, boy, one time we thought we could say, even if I said, who was it? I think one of them, his first name was David. We always said, but my dad would say Brother David because he was the same age. One time we said Brother David. Once. Said Brother David once. Now you can think, our parents are extreme. Okay, maybe they were. But I learned how to respect adults because I was a kid. To respect those that have lived, that have way more experience than you, that know what they're talking about, that have a walk with God, to learn to respect them, not worship them. I'm not talking about that. I'm going to have some respect there for that because one day I'm going to learn to respect God. Education. Destruction. Yeah, I've told you the stories. I was never destructive. My brothers wouldn't play with me. Because they called me the bully. I don't know why. I was the middle child. I was a victim. Middle child syndrome. So my older brother, my younger brother would spend all morning on rainy days turning the entire bedroom into a war zone. They had all the little army men lined up, all their tanks. They had roads made out of little golden books. I've told you this before. They had it beautifully set to start their battle after lunch. And I was madder than fire that they wouldn't let me play with them. I even told my mom. She said, oh, grow up. So mom made lunch, and they went to eat lunch. What do you think I did? I went in that room, buddy. I had that war on my own. I mean, army men were flying. Books were going everywhere. Tanks were doing things tanks shouldn't do. I mean, I obliterated that fight scene. It was just thrown from one end of that room to the other. It was like an atomic bomb literally went off, and his name was Atomic Bomb. And I just blew him up. And, buddy, I got torn up. Why? I was destructive. You know, that's why in school, we don't put up with kids breaking their crayons and breaking their pencils and throwing them around. Whatever, I paid for it. Well, you're not going to destroy that in this school. We're not going to contribute to you learning to be destructive. And that's why we worry about, you're not going to sit on a desk like that. You're going to break it. You're not going to do this. Why? I don't care. Yeah, that's exactly the problem. You don't care. And one day, you're going to have your own property and God's going to teach you a lesson because somebody's going to destroy it. And say, well, you didn't care when you were a teenager. Suddenly you care now? We live in a destructive society. If you haven't watched news clips and what's going on, just breaking into stores, doing what they want to do, dragging people out and beating the snot out of them, I mean, what is wrong with these people? In broad public daylight. Like it's nothing. And then, of course, when one of their own gets attacked, they suddenly call for the police and stuff. But I digress. Destruction. We live in days of destruction. We don't want our children to learn that. There's no reason to destroy property, destroy people's lives, tear up paper. They're destroying paper and making spitballs, Chris. And Well, Chris broke, what did you break and throw when you were a kid? You told me that story. Crayons? Yeah, he would break the crayons and throw it. He never got in trouble for that. Yeah, he did. So, anyway, Chris should write a book about elementary student behavior. It'd be a comedy. A comedy of errors, and we would enjoy reading it. Anyway, we got to teach them not to be destructive. And then that even goes down to taking care of the things in their bedroom. Everything. You know, I get so upset at my boys leave bikes outside, and I just want it. I'm telling you, they know how upset I got about that. Fine, I'll take it. I'll throw it away. It doesn't matter. And I now know why my dad was upset. When we would borrow, because we like to fix our own things, and Dad didn't mind us fixing our own things. It was cool. We rode bikes everywhere. But we would go get his tools and then forget to put them away. And then they're out in the rain, and now they're all rusted and ruined. I think my dad was very happy with that. Now I know why my dad wasn't very happy with that. Yeah. Because if you don't learn that as an adult, you're going to grow up and think, oh, whatever, it's just my bosses. Who cares? He'll just buy another one. Okay, that's cool. My dad used to get upset at us if we didn't clean that spray gun out right. You think, well, what's the big deal? Yeah, it's $4,000. Yeah, it's a big deal. Oh, we just threw the ladders. Oops, it broke. Boy, I'm telling you, he bought our paintbrushes. If you didn't clean it well and he saw it laying on there, well, he's upset. You didn't clean that roller. You're just going to leave it? I paid for that. Don't destroy property. That sounds silly. It sounds silly. But it's not silly if you're the one paying for it. And you're the one trying to take, you're taking all the risk in the business, providing everything. My dad was. He bought everything. And we had to respect that property. Disobedience. Another huge one. Don't put up with it. It's that simple. Do what you're asked to do. Now, My wife, she loves it when they pretend like they didn't hear her. That never goes well for them. And it didn't go well for me when I tried it as a kid. Oh, I didn't hear you, Mom. Oh. Back to the bedroom, staring at the bedsheet again. There we go. Disobedience. And delayed obedience is still disobedience. That's a hard one. And if my mom or dad had to repeat themselves, ugh. We shouldn't let kids get away with this stuff. I know it sounds so mean, and I'm not trying to promote some harsh, mean, whatever, but I'm telling you, look at the results of what we have in our society today because we've deprived children of consequences when they did this. Look at our society. This is where we are. Parents that are parents now did not get consequences for this. And so now they're not giving those consequences to their kids, and it's just multiplying worse and worse. Well, made it through two slides. I really thought I was going to finish. I have like five Bible verses. I'm sorry. Hebrews 12:11. Now no chastening for the present seemeth to be joyous, but grievous. It's not pleasant. It's not joyous. Woo, I'm getting a whipping. Woo-hoo. No, I never did that. I can tell you that. Nevertheless, afterward, it yieldeth the peaceable fruit of righteousness unto them which are exercised thereby. You know, I've heard stories. I can't remember if I've ever done this or not, but I can't remember if one of my boys did it or not. I've heard stories from somebody. I can't remember who told me. At one time, their dad went to punish them or switch them or something, and they laughed. Probably not the wisest thing to do. You know, laugh at your dad who's going to give you a switching or whatever. No, trying to, you know, make it seem, that's almost like, that's literal rebellion is what that is. But it's not joyous. None of my kids, I remember, laughed. Especially Jesse, if you just say, go to my room, it's over. You know that, Ashley, right? And Jesse, you know, we'll talk about that, but yeah. Chastening means discipline. That's what that word means in Hebrews. So you got to give your commands within the child's ability, and then evaluate, did they do it? Now, don't give a child a command that is outside of his ability. Don't set them up for failure. You ever heard that? Don't set them up for failure. I tell the teachers about that. Don't set a child up for failure. All right, we just spent 6 weeks, going over 4 chapters. Test tomorrow. See ya. No review, no nothing. What do you think is going to happen? You know, you've got to be logical. 4-year-old son. All right, son, you get out there and cut down that pine tree. Here's the chainsaw. I know that's silly. I remember my boys, I had a push mower that worked, and it doesn't work anymore, so I don't know. Anyway, they use a rider mower now. But I remember when they were so little, that kind of like what Pop made Todd and Roger do, they were small, and they were holding the thing like this. I said, cut the grass. Buddy, they did it. They were shoving with all their might, and Jared was right there with him. It didn't kill him. It was good for him, and I helped him finish up, you know. But sometimes you got to put obstacles there just to know that they can get through it. We talked about that last time. Oh, I can't do it. I give up. I'm defeated before I even start. Oh, look at this. Like they do that. Look at that team. They're good. We're going to lose. Yeah, we probably will, knowing the Eagles, but no. Except soccer, right? Talking basketball, it's a different thing. We've invested in these large 15-foot diameter basketball rims that is just on our side of the court. I'm just kidding. Right. Jake's going to make sure that they go in. Indiana's coming through. Anyway, give commands within ability and then evaluate. And when you have to give a consequence because you evaluated and they didn't do it, it's grievous. It's painful. It's sorrowful. It's not some, all right, woo, I get to give my kid a spanking. This is great. I get to get my kid in trouble. It's a sorrowful thing. It's a painful thing. Because you love your child, you don't want to do this, but you understand something far-reaching and eternal about what you're doing. And the earlier you begin, as I said, the easier it is. Nevertheless, afterward, it yieldeth the peaceable fruit of righteousness. If you start earlier, then the afterward starts earlier. Start yielding the peaceable fruit of unrighteousness. Yeah, it might be hard to discipline a small child, 2 years old or whatever. It might be. But I'm going to tell you, have them tell you no to your face. Anybody know what they're talking about? That never happened to your kids? Am I the only one? No? I've had a 2-year-old tell me no. You got to deal with it. Oh, it's so cute. No, it's not cute. You can tell. I learned real early. By the way, here's another good one. You can learn as a parent when they're crying out of some problem or situation or if they're crying out of rebellion. You know, my wife was always really good about, you know, even if baby was in church or something, they started crying. She could tell. She would lean over and say, something's wrong. I think he's got a stomach ache. And sure enough, she'd go out there and then it was bombs away. Where's the diapers and all that kind of stuff. And all of a sudden, they're happy. There you go. Be quiet, boy! Don't do that. But you can tell the rebellion, like, it's time to get in your car seat. I am so glad the car seat days are gone. Oh, I can't stand car seats. Nicole, you know anything about car seats? Yeah. You ready to put them in. And what do they do? Anybody know what I'm talking about? Am I the only one? Anybody know what I'm talking about? I guess I'm the only one. All right, James probably never did that, did he, Tara? No. And you're like, their spine might break, but they're getting in. That was rebellion. I'm sorry, I'm going to call it what it is. I don't want to get in that car seat, and you can't make me. You didn't have... All right, everybody, jump in the back of the station wagon. I love it. It's even better. But, you know, you got to deal with it. You're not going to be rebellious. You're going to get in this car seat, and you're going to do it because mom and dad said so. Anyway, we got to stop. The earlier you begin, the easier it is. Well, we'll pick up sometime, and I will try to finish this maybe on some Sunday nights. I appreciate your attention. Father, just thank you so much for your love and the things we can learn from your word. Lord, we are not by any means perfect in any of these things. None of us are. But Father, we do want to have the desire to raise our children so that they learn to respect you. They learn to obey you. And they learn to submit to God's will for their lives. Lord, help us to just line upon line, understand what we are doing with eternal values in view. Help all of us in this regard. And thank you for this day. In Christ's name, amen. Thank you.